tonight.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Today is March 2nd. Welcome to the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. It's March 2nd, 2017. I'm going to open the public hearing on House Bill 2004. Great to see a good turnout. Speaker Kotek, Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, Senator James Manning. Thank you for kicking us off. Cassie, do you want to, before you leave, we'll have our committee administrator read the summary of the bill.
Right. Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2004 repeals the prohibition on a city or county ordinance regulating rent of a dwelling unit. The bill requires a landlord to provide cause and notice for termination of month-to-month tenancy and provides exceptions including property repairs or renovations causing inhabitability, property conversion to other use, demolition, unhabitable dwelling conditions, purchase of the unit for person's primary residence or occupation of the unit as the primary landlord residence. The bill requires a landlord who terminates tenancy under the exception to provide 90-day notice with stated exception and relocation assistance for the tenant. The bill defines relocation assistance as payment equal to 3 months' rent plus the security deposit. The bill prohibits a landlord from terminating a tenancy without notice or relocation assistance and requires a fixed-term tenancy to become month-to-month upon end of the original fixed term unless the tenant agrees to renew or terminate the tenancy. The bill allows a tenant of month-to-month tenancy to terminate the tenancy with no cause, providing a 30-day notice to the landlord, and requires a landlord with a fixed-term tenant to offer renewal equal to the duration of the existing fixed term 90 days prior to the specified end date. The bill declares an emergency and is effective on passage.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Tina Kotek, State Representative from House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity, and also Speaker of the House. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on House Bill 2004. As we know, colleagues, Oregon has a housing crisis, and it's a crisis with consequential effects. Whether we have a growing tide of individuals who are experiencing homelessness, to a growing number of folks who aren't able to buy a home and build wealth, and then everything in between. You know, I often hear that the answer to this crisis is about supply, that we just need to build more housing, both affordable and mixed-rate housing, to meet the growing demand. Of course we need more supply. No one disagrees with that argument. And many of us, including you up there, are working very hard to make sure we can build more housing, help that be a reality, as well as preserve the affordable housing that we have. But it would be dishonest to believe it's just about supply. While we have a shortage of supply, and it's the underlying cause of the problem, we cannot and should not simply believe that we can build our way out of this crisis. It's a crisis. It's immediate. It's upon us. And people are losing their housing every day right now. The Oregonians you will hear from today cannot afford to wait the years that it will take for new supply to trickle down and rent increases to begin to slow down. They are losing their housing now. And as elected leaders, we cannot stand by while our communities become more economically segregated. People's lives are unfairly disrupted. And essential stability is harder and harder to find. People need predictability and stability to thrive. The current rental market is failing too many Oregonians when it comes to stability and predictability. And it will not get better unless we act. Today's conversation, House Bill 2004, is about a necessary set of remedies that we need right now. Today's conversation is about combating displacement. Across the nation, higher income individuals are flocking to urban areas, leading to widespread displacement of low income people and people of color from their communities. Oregon is no exception to what is being referred to widely as a displacement crisis. As demand to live in cities increases faster than available supply, current residents can no longer afford to live in their homes, and many are forced to move. As you know, the City of Portland recently released their annual State of Housing Report and found that there is not a single neighborhood in Portland that is affordable to the average Native American, African American, or Latino household. Not a single one. There is extensive research on the negative impacts of segregation and a growing body of research from leading economic institutions showing that inequality hinders economic growth and prosperity, while racial inclusion and lower levels of inequality contribute to sustainable economic growth and prosperity. Limited supply and increased demand are certainly driving much of the current crisis, but the ability of landlords to evict people without cause and no ability to implement local rent stabilization further exacerbate the problem and fuel the displacement crisis. House Bill 2004 provides needed tools to local jurisdictions to simply stabilize their communities. By banning no-cause evictions and requiring landlords to state a reason for evicting their tenants, we can ensure that termination notices are not used to discriminate, retaliate, or facilitate economic evictions. Lifting the preemption on rent stabilization allows local jurisdictions to initiate policies that can prevent displacement. As you heard from Dr. Barton on Tuesday, moderate rent stabilization programs are the best anti-displacement tool that are available. Local governments should be allowed to have a conversation about how and to whether they want to use that tool. So, colleagues, if Oregon is to grow and thrive, Oregonians need stability and predictability, and that means housing that they can count on. Please support House Bill 2004 and the remedies it provides. Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Lori Monas Anderson. I'm delighted to be here. I look forward to joining my colleagues to take some action in the coming weeks to keep Oregon families in their homes and ensure that at the end of the day, they have a safe, stable place to live. I have just a few stories I just want to relate to you. I knocked on thousands of doors during this last campaign season, and housing was the number one issue that people were talking about. So different from when I ran for office in 2012. I mean, there was a stark difference. And so that's when I knew that we needed to do something here in the legislature to help them. I am a landlord. I own a duplex, and I am willing to comply with these rules. I've had the same renters for 10 years. They are very low income, but I'm not going to make money on low income families, and I do really feel that the proposals in this bill are practical and necessary. Senator Edwards wanted to be here. He was walking with me one evening last summer, and he ran into a homeless woman. And he said I could share this story with you. And in fact, he called me on my cell because I was a street over and said, Lori, please come. You need to talk with this woman too. And it is a woman who had been displaced from her marriage, basically. She's displaced. And she needed to get housing. And so I actually told her about the homeless shelter that we had for women that was just opening up. But she had such fear, and that's what I'm hearing from so many of the residents. There's fear of what's going to happen because housing and food are the most important things to them. If they have housing and food, then they'll be able to be stable enough to have work and have a job and contribute to society and get their kids educated. An apartment complex in my district, 85 units, was bought by an out-of-state buyer. And he had raised the rent $50 one year, then $100, then another $100. And the residents are primarily retired. They're living on their Social Security as their only means. And they were moving out. They had to move out. One man said his son has a garage that they're going to renovate, but they didn't know if it was legal. A woman said she still wasn't sure. Her daughter didn't really have room, but, you know, so these things are actually happening. Another lady, there's a single dad who had a disabled daughter, was evicted with no cause because the new buyer of the apartment complex he was living in was going to be renovated and rents increased substantially. He was fortunate enough to find an apartment, but he had his parents who paid the deposit and the first and last month's rent. And finally, there's a single mom of two who could not afford her house. She had bought a house, and the payment she couldn't meet. So she moved into an apartment. And now, after 2 years, her rent is actually higher than what her payments were on her mortgage. And she is going through a lot of anxiety and stress. So, colleagues, I find these proposals practical and necessary. I hope that you will look long and hard, and I know you're going to have a long day, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Kenny Geyer, Vice Chair Sanchez and Olson. For the record, my name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I am the senator from Senate District 7, which is Eugene and Junction City. Just listening to a little bit of the testimony from the speaker and also the senator, it draws me back to some conversations I've had with a few people when I was out meeting people. One in particular was a female veteran. Her husband served, both her and her husband had served in the United States Army, and her husband is deceased. And she lived in this big apartment complex. And she's moving out, or she had to move, because they increased her rent to the degree that she could no longer afford that. So now we have another homeless vet out on the street. I talked to a former basketball star with NBA, probably know him, he's with the Trailblazers, and he was telling me about his mother, who is up in age a little bit, and he moved her here to the Portland area, and he wanted to provide her with some housing and support because of her age. Well, the rent had increased so much that he could no longer, or his mother could no longer stay there. So he finally found some place else that affordable for his mother. And he told me, he said that if it hadn't been for his status, he don't think that his mother could afford to stay there. But because of who he was, there are a lot of people out there that don't have those credentials, that can't stand up and say that I am a former NBA star, or people that go out and sacrifice their livelihood and put everything on the line for the protection of this nation and come back and find that they're homeless. I think this is really appalling that we're even sitting down talking about this, having this conversation, because sometimes humanity seems to or should trump the necessity for someone to turn a dime or off the backs of those that are less fortunate. Many areas of the states, including the city of Eugene, which I am, is my Senate district, are experiencing the same issues around housing or the lack of housing, affordable housing. We've seen situations where tenants are being displaced, causing homelessness, joblessness, schools disruptions, and issues stemming from lack of stability, health care, and more. When I reflect a little bit about my travels, I spent 24 years in the United States Army, and in the 24 years, I lived in places around the world, developing countries, and I've seen how people without money are living. And then I return home here to the United States, and I see those same conditions are still prevailing here. I know there are a lot of good people out here that, as a senator here, has said that she's not doing it to make a dime off anyone. She's doing it because of the goodness and the kindness of her heart. She sees that there's a need. There are many people out there in this great state of ours that feel the same way. But then we have those that are looking just to turn a dime on the backs of those that don't have a voice. Well, they do have a voice, and we are that voice. This bill certainly does not remove a landlord's right to evict the tenant if there are violations of lease agreements, and does not apply with the landlords who live in the same property with two or fewer units. Here's an opportunity for us as legislators here in our great state of Oregon to stand up for those that are suffering and make a statement. Thank you for your time. And I support House Bill 2004.
Really?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
We don't get to ask him questions?
Well, we're going to limit the testifiers. Anyone has a burning question?
You know where to find it.
We have a lot of people here who want, and I really want to make sure we get as many people in as possible. Today I'm going to rotate the testimony between those who support and those who oppose. We've got different sign-up sheets here. I'm going to ask four people to come up to the chairs and be ready so we can go as fast as possible. We have a timer for 2 minutes. If we had fewer people, I was going to have more time, but I want to get as many in as possible. We will prioritize people who have traveled from over 100 miles away, so you'll move up on the list if you've come from 100 miles away. We are going to be carrying this over until 5 p.m. tonight, so if you're able to stay, if you aren't able to speak, but you're able to stay, please come back and join us at 5 p.m. We are hoping to wrap that up by 8 p.m. If we really have to keep going, we may, but we're hoping that we can finish it by then, if not sooner. And we will accept your written testimony until 5 p.m. tomorrow on Friday before closing the public record. So with that, I'm going to call up the first panel, Sybil Hebb, who is going to give a little bit of the intro to the bill itself, if you didn't catch that from the previous. Marjorie Davies, Koya Crispin, and Cody Standiford. And on deck will be, let's see. Yes. On deck, Diane Boyer, Dane Boyer, Jim Chase, and Teresa Weisner. The ones on deck, if you could sit in the floor. Okay, please start. Introduce yourself for the record and get going as fast as you can.
Hi. My name is Koya Crespin. I came from North Portland today. Thank you for listening to my story. As many of you have heard, my building in North Portland has had recently received mass no-cause evictions to all of the tenants. I received my no-cause notice 4 months after giving birth to my son, and 2 months after the property was bought over by new owners. Through organizing my building and with the help of Community Alliance of Tenants, these notices have recently been rescinded. This is a small victory in the broader issue of the lack of proper rental protection for Oregon families. We need our state leaders to help us. We need you to help us level the playing field. We need you to help us sustain our community ties. My daughter goes to a school that teaches her ballet, Spanish, and choir.
Please help maintain the future of our little Oregonians. Yes, we can have a working relationship with scrupulous landlords. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cody Standiford. Madam Chairman, Vice Chair Sanchez, Vice Chair Olson, and the rest of the committee, I appreciate you making time for us to speak on this very important bill this morning. I work for a nonprofit in Bend, and we work with homeless veterans, and I also am the co-chair for our Continuum of Care's governing body, the Homeless Leadership Coalition, and I'm here today in that capacity to speak to you about this particular bill. I'm also a United States Army veteran, fought in Iraq, and have come home, much like the senator who spoke earlier, and have seen abject poverty in places that we shouldn't ever have to see that. The very first tenet in survival, whether it be outdoor survival or all the way through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the very first tenet for our survival as human beings is shelter, is a secure place to live. And in our current state, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Office of General Counsel made the determination that homelessness in and of itself is a life-threatening condition. So, with a no-cause eviction, a just-because eviction, in my area, where we have a 0.25% vacancy rate, functionally, that's about three or four places on the market at any given time, and that's not just affordable or low income. That is across the spectrum. Without due process afforded to someone, it makes zero sense to put them in a life-threatening situation. In my mind, that is akin to putting someone on death row without a trial. And I can tell you, from my personal standpoint, I didn't fight in the sands of Iraq to come back and watch that happen. I ask you please, as I run out of time here, to support this bill. This is the right thing to do. Our most vulnerable citizens are at stake.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Marjorie Davis, and I live in Bandon with my husband. Our former landlords and us, we had a good relationship for about 18 months. They were very supportive of my battle against breast cancer and my husband's battle against liver cancer. Unfortunately, in 2015, we came home from Portland and his recent chemo treatment to discover that our landlords were on the property and they intended to live for the summer in a storage building that was 5 feet behind the mobile home that we were renting. We're a go-with-the-flow type of people, and so we thought, okay. But he decided that he was going to build a one-bedroom addition to this building, and the noise interrupted my husband's sleep. It was constant construction noise. They left, and unfortunately, when they came back the following year, they brought their 40-something-year-old daughter with them and informed us that she was going to be spending the winter in this building that was 5 feet behind the mobile home that we were renting and use our utilities for the winter. I asked the landlord if he couldn't please front some money for us because we were on Social Security, both cancer patients, and we didn't want the bill going sky high on us. He absolutely refused. He said his daughter was broke, but she would take care of the payments. As a consequence of this discussion, I got a no-cause eviction. We were desperate. We thought that we were going to have to live in our cargo van over the months of November and December and possibly January to get the funds. We put an ad in the local Bandon newspaper, and a wonderful, compassionate woman who was a former VA nurse said that because we had been vetted by the FBI to volunteer at the Rogue River Ranch, and because of this situation with our landlord, she would waive the second part of the money we needed. We would have no security deposit because she felt so strongly about this. She knew that we had this appointment today to speak, and she fully supports us. And HB 2004, thank you for your time.
Thank you. And if any of you get cut in your testimony, please make sure that it's in the public record. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair Kennegeier, Vice Chair Sanchez, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. Thank you very much. Sybil Hebb with the Oregon Law Center here to support House Bill 2004. I'll use my 2 minutes to briefly hit on some key points. These stories you've heard here in this panel are reflective of stories that we hear in our offices across the state, in every county in the state. This is not a Portland urban problem. This is a rural problem. This is a mid-sized community problem. This is an urban problem. It's everywhere. The basic fundamental fairness and due process that we think ought to be afforded to people when they are accused of anything or put in a place in which they have to defend their livelihood, their basic safety, the place where they sleep with their children and go about their lives. We think there needs to be due process and an understanding of what the allegations are and an opportunity to cure those allegations or to defend them or to accept the eviction and move on. We have no desire to protect bad tenants. We think, in fact, landlords have an obligation to get rid of bad tenants by using a for-cause notice. The for-cause notice process is the fastest way to get rid of somebody who is behaving inappropriately. A landlord who chooses to use a no-cause notice for someone that they believe to be, as alleged earlier, a person who's using drugs or a person who is otherwise behaving in a way that puts other tenants in danger, they choose to give that person an extra 30 or 60 days to continue with that bad behavior at the risk of any other tenant around. A no-cause notice takes too long. A for-cause notice allows you to get rid of somebody or to evict somebody who is a bad actor with 24 hours notice or 10 days notice or other forms of notice that are much shorter and more efficient than the no-cause notice process. No-cause is the slowest way to get rid of anybody, but it's the least fair way if you're using it as a means of retaliation or a means of discrimination. And you heard examples here where we had tenants who have no cause evictions in front of them. They have no defense, and that's not appropriate. Thank you very much, panel.
Okay, next up, Diane Boyer, Dane Boyer, and Jim Chase, and Teresa Wisner.
Hello, my name is Diane Boyer, and thank you for hearing our side of the story. My husband and I have had rentals for 30-some years. We are a small investment. That is our retirement money, we hope. We put more money back into our units. We always leave them better. When each tenant leaves, we put new carpet, new everything in it. And by limiting us with the no-cost notice, for us to be able to just restore these units before our retirement time, where we want to get our money back, is really uncomfortable for me. But what is really uncomfortable for me is having to pay relocation fees. If I have a major sewer problem throughout the year, or something big, or we have bad tenants and I have to go back in and do a lot of work, my profit is gone for the year. My investment is for my retirement, not for what I'm living on today. I'm fully employed. I do this in my spare time if I have any. And I find this impeding upon what my dream is as a landlord, to be able to sell them and have a comfortable retirement. I just hope that you look at both sides of the story, because I know there are bad landlords. I know that the REIs come in and change the rules. But you have to remember to protect us, the small guys, not just the large people or that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Don Boyer, and this is my wife. We're from Coos Bay. We have a lot of the same problems, but some of the different problems. We have some economic problems down there that affect us. Our whole lives are in our, this is a business to us, and a lot of people don't realize that it's a business. And if these proposals go through, I think it's going to be very detrimental to the solution of the lack of housing. We're fighting new pet problems, things like that, where we have to start charging more deposits. And now if this comes through, where we have to come up with relocation costs, it's just not good for us. We can't handle those kind of costs to us. There's just not that much money at the end of the month. We need to create some kind of incentives through the state to allow the contractors and investors to create some housing, some low-cost housing. I heard a rumor that there's like 3,000 people a month coming into Portland, and where are they going to go? So it's too bad that some of these people are being displaced, but if there's that many people coming in, there's going to be 3,000 people displaced, whether it's the people already living in a place, or the new people. So we have to loosen some of the laws, the building laws, things like that, to allow more building of low-cost housing. We have a problem in housing in Coos Bay and in Portland. I know more about Coos Bay, but we've got the same thing going on down there. So that's what I'm looking at.
Madam Chair, can I interrupt just really and ask a real quick question of Don, Diane? I'm just curious, how many units do you have?
Six.
Duplexes?
A triplex, a duplex, and a manufactured home.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and I'm sorry for botching your name.
Oh, that's okay. All right, very well.
Thank you.
My name's Jim Chase, Phoenix, Oregon. I'm an employed property manager for a small property, currently owned by the daughter of the man that built the property in the 1960s. We have 20 units, all duplexes, ones and two bedrooms. Our rent is $500 and $600 respectively. Very reasonable and below market in Jackson County. All of the proposals in this bill would be extremely onerous to us, a small family-owned, woman-owned business. I have used the no-cause termination twice in my 3.5 years on this job to protect the other tenants in my units. One was an assaultive tenant that threatened me. Without witnesses, without police report. So I wasn't interested in trying to do a for cause in this event. The other one was running his caretaker in a very abusive situation when she started losing teeth. I was not able to document it other than, well, she would have become a protected person as a domestic abuse victim. So beyond my anecdotal things, I'm pleading for reason and balance. The prohibition of no-cause terminations is an artifact of rent control where it's been imposed. People are having to use the no-cause, which is already prohibited to be retaliatory. Discrimination is already forbidden. So if people are using it for that, they should be challenged on those grounds. If we impose rent control, it'll freeze the market, less supply.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Teresa Wisner, and I want to say good morning to Chair Kenny Guyer and Vice Chair Sanchez and Olson. Thanks for having us here today. I am opposed to House Bill 2004. For 10 years, I worked on behalf of victims of domestic violence, stalking, child abuse, and bullying. I was a member of the Governor's Council on Domestic Violence, and I've been before this body on numerous occasions to speak for victims of abuse. I believe House Bill 2004 is bad for victims. Most won't speak without anonymity. Currently, a victim can talk to the landlord, and the landlord can choose to evict while maintaining confidentiality. Under this legislation, these victims would have to move, stay in a dangerous place, or say something publicly and risk physical harm. In the past, this body has been forward-thinking in its approach to protecting victims, and I hope you'll continue that by leaving HB 2004 off the floor. On a more personal note, I would not know about this piece of legislation if my husband and I hadn't recently invested our life savings to purchase a single-family rental in Albany. It will be the only supplement to our questionable Social Security income, and my husband will be retiring next year. If we had known legislation like this would be coming up, we would not have chosen to enter this market. It disturbs us to realize that if we have a bad tenant, we may not be able to evict them without significant financial burden that we cannot meet on a fixed income. Finally, all of these measures are the result of a lack of affordable housing, not the actions of landlords. The need for additional housing in our communities should not be the burden, temporarily or permanently, of landlords. If that becomes the case, we, and likely other owners, will seriously consider selling our property with the likely outcome that less, not more, rentals are available on the market. Please vote in opposition to House Bill 2004. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I forgot to call up the next panel, but is Mayor Ted Wheeler here? He's not here yet. Okay. So I will go to Sarah Yohannidis, Alicia Temple, James Barda, and Michelle Rowland-Swartz. And, oh, thank you, Vice Chair. On deck will be Wayne Skunoon, Terry Turner, Terry Llewellyn, and Wendy Witts. You could sit in the front chairs. Is there another person on your panel?
He must be in the other room.
James Barda.
He's probably coming from the
James
other room.
James Barda. Okay, well, we'll have... Go ahead and start. James can come in.
Oh, yeah. Chair Kenny Geyer, Vice Chairs Olson and Sanchez, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sarah Jonitas. I am the Director of Social Responsibility for New Seasons Market. For those of you that don't know New Seasons, we're a local grocery store chain with 18 stores in Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today in support of important legislation that will put an end to no-cause evictions and help keep families in their homes. At New Seasons, we believe that our employees should be able to live and thrive in the neighborhoods where they work, and that customers should be able to afford healthy food and other necessities. Stable, affordable housing is critical to realizing these deeply held values for our employees, our customers, and for all Oregonians. New Seasons Market has been a mission-driven company since we started in Oregon 17 years ago. We've always been committed to offering industry-leading compensation and benefits, and we provide starting wages well above the federal and state minimums. However, in recent years, it's become clear that delivering on our mission to supporting thriving employees and healthy communities will not be possible unless businesses like ours engage at the state level to address the very significant social and economic challenges that we face today. We came to the state
state capitol for the first time during the 2016 special session to support raising the minimum wage. In my testimony last year, I shared New Season's concern about the rapid increase in the cost of living in Oregon. When our neighbors, our customers, and our employees can't afford basics like food, rent, and child care, it hurts us all. Raising wages was a critical step to addressing economic inequality, and I applaud you for your leadership with that legislation. This session, I'm back with New Seasons to urge you to take the next step to address the urgent need for affordable, stable, and secure housing. 40% of Oregonians rent their homes. That means that roughly 1.5 million Oregonians in our state are potentially vulnerable to unpredictable housing changes. When families are told to leave their homes without a valid reason, it can cause immense financial hardship that can force them to deplete their savings. Thank you.
Hi, Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. My name is Alicia Temple, and I am the Deputy Director of the Coalition of Community Health Clinics. I'm testifying to ask the committee to support House Bill 2004. The Coalition of Community Health Clinics is made up of 14 clinics in 37 locations across the Tri-County area. We strengthen community health clinics, promote health equity, and foster collaboration across the safety net delivery system. Community health clinics serve populations struggling with poverty, language barriers, abuse, addictions, homelessness, and mental health issues. This past year, our clinic saw over 54,000 patients, had over 280,000 visits. Now, of those patients, 93% had incomes below 200% of FPL, 51% were on OHP, and another 24% were uninsured. Our clinics know that when a patient comes through our doors, their health is not the only thing on their mind. We're here today because too many of our patients are worried about where they're going to sleep at night or how they're going to pay the rent. The reality is that often an individual's health and housing are dependent on each other. Stable housing is key to improving health. Managing complex health conditions can be challenging for low-income individuals, but it can seem impossible when you don't know where you're going to sleep at night. Being housed makes treatment more successful. No-cause evictions and the lack of affordable housing means more people are ending up homeless. Clinics see every day that living on the streets or in crowded shelters makes health conditions worse and creates new health conditions. Not only does this have severe consequences for people's health, but it's costly. Research shows that the cost to the healthcare system is decreased by stable housing. Housing instability can also impact a person's continuity of insurance coverage. As you know, the OHP process is incredibly complicated, and a lot of the information is sent via mail, including renewal notices. If a person has unstable housing, it makes it that much harder to continue their coverage, and we see that every day in our clinics. Stable housing is critical to an individual's health, and it's clear that the current housing crisis is a threat. Please support HB 2004.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee. My name is Michelle Roland Schwartz. I'm Executive Director of the Oregon Attorney General Sexual Assault Task Force, and our mission is to advance a survivor-centered, trauma-informed approach to the response to and prevention of sexual violence in Oregon. I've submitted testimony on behalf of the task force in support of House Bill 2004, but my aim today is to appeal to you on a personal level. At the age of 12, I disclosed to my middle school counselor that the primary breadwinner in my home, my father, was sexually abusing me. The appropriate removal of my father from our life was coupled with the loss of our home. My mother, sister, and I spent the next year living in a small camp trailer while we searched for an affordable and permanent home. We moved the camper from carport to carport, careful not to outstay our welcome in any one place. It was the 1980s rural Oregon equivalent of couch surfing. In the late 90s, when I became an advocate serving survivors of sexual violence, access to safe and affordable housing remained a theme and continued to be a central issue to problem solve with survivors in subsequent years. The precarious nature of housing instability caused by drastic rent increases and no-cause evictions increases the likelihood of sexual violence. We know that victims are more likely to experience violence perpetrated by someone they know, and for homeless women and youth, it is typically by someone they go to for help. This is often in the form of forced, coerced, or manipulated sexual activity in exchange for survival, such as access to a place to sleep, food, and other life-saving needs. Perpetrators choose victims based on their vulnerability, their accessibility, and their perceived lack of credibility. Where there is displacement, there is perpetration. I share my story as a survivor and advocate to highlight that housing instability is not a new issue for survivors. It is, however, exacerbated by the current housing crisis caused by rent increases and no-cause eviction, and a crisis that is putting Oregonians at increased risk of sexual violence, and that is why I'm here to support House Bill 2004. Thank you.
Perfect timing.
Perfect. Chair Kenny-Geyer, members of the committee, I appreciate how quickly things are moving. And so now I want to say it for my name is James Barta. I am a legislative director for Children First for Oregon. And at first glance, I'm sure for many members of the committee, housing seems to be a tenuous relationship with children's advocacy. We should typically think about education or health care. But really, housing is one of the most basic measures of socioeconomic need. And so that's why it's on the children's agenda. We have more than 20 advocates that support the concept of both just cause eviction and rent stabilization. Research shows that a job loss leading to eviction, it's actually more common for an eviction to lead to job loss, which of course leads to poverty. And in my written testimony that was submitted, that poverty damages the development of children's brains. It's as simple as that. And so this is indeed a children's issue. And so for the entire state, children's poverty is at 22%, and 43% of children live in rentals. And so it makes tenant security also a children's issue. Now, the advocates I've been hearing from are not calling for rent control. This bill is looking to allow jurisdictions the ability to simply put reasonable limits on rent increases to reduce these evictions, and looking to prevent families from being evicted for no reason of their own. So, one thing I want to add too is this committee has already heard testimony in weeks past that there was a 70% reduction in federal funding for affordable housing. And this has caused a nationwide problem, and it's a problem in urban and rural areas of the state. And so I'm just asking for this support for this reasonable bill. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. So next we have coming up Wayne Scanoon, Terry Turner, Terry Llewellyn, Wendy Woods, and on deck we're going to have Michael Bonacor, Trell Anderson, Lisa Hatton, and someone from 100 miles away, Janie Hess. So those of you on deck, please come to the front. And those of you up, please start.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing my testimony. My name is Terry Turner. I'm the president of the Oregon Rental Housing Association. ORHA represents thousands of rental owners and managers. We provide tens of thousands of homes for Oregonians. Our members have been portrayed as heartless, greedy people who are uncaring about our communities. That's far from the truth. Let's be clear. No one invests in rental property so that they can make property vacant. Over 90% of us depend on the rent to pay the bills. We use no-cause notices to protect other tenants and to allow an unhappy or non-compliant tenant to move without causing negative history. I would like to give you a couple of real-life examples that would have been dramatically different if this bill were passed. I'll call the first couple Carol and Ramon. I've known them for more than 10 years. I've rented an apartment, a townhouse, and a duplex to them. They always paid their rent on time, and their home was always in excellent condition. When Ramon was deported 5 years ago, Carol was left with three children and no family able to help her. I gave her a month's free rent and a list of agencies that might help. I wanted to be able to keep this great tenant, and my heart went out to her and her children. She couldn't find anyone to help her, so together she and I contacted an agency that told us that if she was asked to leave, a no-cause notice, not an eviction, that they would help her. If no-cause notices are prohibited in Oregon, Carol and people like her, women and children, will be forced into shelters and onto streets because they will only be evicted, not asked to move. I know this is not your goal. Another example I have is a young Latino couple that lived in a duplex. They were being harassed by their neighbor. He was taunting them. They were terrified. I had no proof of what he was doing, and they begged me to help. I gave him a no-cause notice to protect them from retaliation. HB 2004 goes too far. We need housing. We need it now. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Terry Llewellyn. My wife, Melody, and I live in Bend. We are here to speak in opposition to House Bill 2004. I'm a general contractor, have been for 25 years. My wife has been a licensed real estate agent for 21 years. And in summary of this, I would just like to say we built, own, and manage 26 rental units. And we do have a shortage of rental units and land to put them on, and the reasons are numerous. We do have a plan that we can use to fix it, because we've been there, done that. We have built affordable housing before affordable housing was a political or issue or anything. It was just working class housing. We know exactly how to do it. We have 26 units with great tenants that are happy, respected, living in well-maintained units. Over 80% of our units still are, by definition, affordable housing to those living in the 80th percentile of the AMI or below. We did this without one dime of taxpayer money. In fact, a few of our buildings, we had to pay an affordable housing fee to the city of Bend to get our permits to go build affordable housing. They wouldn't waive that fee, and we still provide affordable housing. So go figure. So my proposal is, I'd love to meet with some of you guys. I think I've got a really good plan going forward. If we could, I can put together some very ambitious people across the state that are raring and ready to go. And so my deal is, you guys vote this bill down and let's get to work. It'll be very exciting. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Wayne Schnurr. I live in Bend, Oregon. My wife and I have been property owners, rent owners for the last quarter of a century. We own 5 houses in Bend. I even joined CORA before, which is the Central Oregon Rent Owners Association, even prior to closing escrow on our first home. The reason was, I wanted to be a good landlord. Back in the 1980s, 90s, we either had a good landlord or you had a slum landlord, and we were the other end of the pendulum scale. We wanted to be good ones. We bought 5 houses. 2 of them had to be jacked up to put new foundations in them. We gutted them to the studs, rewired them, insulated them, water, roofs, everything was redone in them. All the heat services and stuff, that were all replaced. We basically worked 7 days a week. And put all of our money back into the homes. In fact, some of the homes sat vacant for several years because I was going from one to the other. I didn't have the money to hire contractors to come in and do all the work. My hands can show that I've done all the work myself for the most part. The last year alone, I've spent $10,000 to $15,000 just in parts and materials going into my rental houses. I have the same schedule coming up for this coming year, to make the houses better and stuff like that for my tenants. My last tenant that moved out for me had been there for 9 years and sent me a very lovely letter with their new address and things like that to come over and visit us in our new home. Over the last 25 years that I've been a landlord, I've had probably a dozen of my tenants were able to save enough money to go out and buy their new home. This last couple was another example of those. If this bill goes through, we're going to actually end up reducing the amount of affordable housing in Oregon. In Bend, there was an article in the newspaper this past week about a couple who wanted to build a small little cottage house on their property. They ended up paying $30,000. $5,500 or $6,000 went into it. Excuse me. I thank you for your time, folks.
Thank you so much.
I'm Wendy Woods, and I live in Dallas, and I am a person who's been both a renter and has rented out my own home, and I'm now retired. So I've experienced both the points of view of the owner and the renter. When renting out the home that I owned, rents never covered actual expenses, but I felt good that I was providing good housing to people who were low income. When I was a renter, the rent was a major part of my budget. And of the two situations, I can say the renter is the more vulnerable. Rent increases and no-cause evictions are exceedingly stressful, especially for the aging, disabled, and low-income populations. I'm speaking in support of HR 2004 and 2003, not for myself, but for many other hardworking people who are struggling financially, who are elderly or disabled, and no longer able to work. I speak for those who subsist barely on meager fixed incomes. For example, someone on a fixed income of $2,000 a month, which is a lot more than most Social Security payments, it's $24,000 a year, is above the official poverty level, but at today's typical rental rates, they would be paying more than half their income for rent and utilities. When rents rise, as they are now, those on fixed incomes will have little money left for necessities like food, medicine, health care, and transportation. Allowing rents to rise unchecked has already forced many Americans into a state of chronic homelessness. I was speaking with a woman yesterday who's decided to live in her van and move from place to place, on free camping land, because she can't afford to live, and she's 55, and she's worried about her future.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, because your name was on the wrong
list. Yeah, it was on the wrong list.
It was on the wrong list. Yeah. So I'm sorry about that, everyone. We will balance that out as soon as we can. So next up, we have Michael Bunnicore, Trell Anderson, Lisa Hatton, Janie Haas, and on deck, Jeremy Pod, Jessica Blakely, Mark Bidwell, and Richard Seward.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer and committee members. Thank you for having me. My name is Michael Bunnicore. I'm the executive director of Home Forward. We're the housing authority for Multnomah County and the largest provider of affordable housing in the state of Oregon. Among our resources are approximately 9,000 housing choice vouchers, or sometimes known as Section 8 vouchers. And for families who receive those, they typically pay about 30% of their rent, and the housing choice voucher subsidizes the remainder of the rent. It's a very successful program for helping people with low incomes be stable in the rental market, at least historically. Today, in this rental market, we see that even voucher holders with the benefit of subsidy themselves are experiencing instability. And when I was here recently, I told you a story about a voucher holder named Alice, who is a senior on a fixed income with a housing choice voucher, who experienced a significant rent increase, which caused her displacement. So today I'd like to tell you about Mary, who is a mom of two kids who also has a housing choice voucher. She's not a senior on a fixed income, but she is a mom who has a permanent disability, who had lived all her life in her North Portland neighborhood. She was surrounded by friends and neighbors who helped provide childcare for her kids. They had the stability of their school and the community around them, and Mary experienced a no-cause eviction. When that happens, we give voucher holders time to find another place to rent, but the 90-day notice period was not enough time for Mary. So we were able to connect her with a nonprofit called Impact Northwest, who helped her with her search, who paid for her Mary and her two children to stay in a hotel for 2 months. Without that support, they would have been homeless. And so,
Thank you, again, Michael.
What's invisible is still really vulnerable in our community. Thank you.
Okay. Squeezing quickly.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. My name is Trell Anderson. I'm the Director of Community Development and Housing at Catholic Charities and the Executive Director of Caritas Housing. We're the affordable housing arm of Catholic Charities. We have a portfolio of nearly 700 units, and it's growing. In addition to the current properties we have in the Portland metro area, we also own property in Douglas County, and we're about to acquire 102 units in Rogue River, which is in Jackson County as well. We're a mission-based nonprofit organization dedicated to serve low-income people, and I'm here to support HB 2004 and the tenant protections that it offers. But I'm not here alone today. In addition to the individuals you've heard from, I've been asked to represent the 50 nonprofits of the Oregon Opportunity Network. We're a group of like-minded, mission-based organizations across the state. We have a portfolio of nearly 30,000 affordable housing units. We provide safe and secure place for people to sleep every night, of approximately 74,000 low-income men and women, victims of domestic violence, children, people with disabilities. Together, we provide housing across the state essentially to the to a population essentially the size of the city of Medford. Now, it's impossible within my two-minute time limit to get into some of the details about how we work very specifically with individual residents. We very, very rarely use no-cause eviction, and in fact, our goal is never to use no-cause eviction. If there's a reason to evict, it's always for cause. I'd be happy to spend more time than I have here today to talk with each of you individually and bring my colleagues to talk more about how we do that at a very personal and individual level.
Thank you, Tal.
Hi, my name is Lisa Hatton, and my husband and I have been landlords since 1996 in one way or another. We currently own six homes and two duplexes, and we have used no-cause eviction a couple of times, frankly, because it has been easier than using the cause. We should have used the cause, but it takes time to document, and you have to be careful, and we both have full-time jobs, and it's just been easier. So being landlords is a business, and you have to, by the way, I'm in support of HB 2004. I really think that some of the things I've heard today about landlords is the cost of investing in the properties to keep them up and whatnot is just part of the cost of doing business. Any business has costs, and we don't have employees, we have tenants, and we have to take care of them, and they take care of us. We've always kept our rents reasonable. Some of them are close to market, but mostly a little bit below market. It's not hard to have fair rent. We don't raise the rent unless somebody moves out, and then we raise it a little bit. It is our retirement. We totally plan on living off the property's income once we pay them off. So we work really hard to pay down the mortgages as quickly as we can. There's lots of protections for landlords in the current leases. They're four pages long, and there's deposits for damages. Usually doesn't cover the damages that the really bad tenants leave. We've had to redo a couple of our houses completely, and so I understand that is a big investment, but it's part of being in business. As far as the relocation goes, we don't evict tenants unless they are really bad to us. It's just we want them there, and so if we're gonna, it sounds to me like in the bill there are some protections for small landlords, and if we're gonna sell a unit, we're gonna make a lot of money on that unit, and paying somebody that we displace a few thousand dollars is, in my mind, fair. So thank you.
Madam Chairman, committee members, I am Janae Haas. I came up from Ashland today. I just retired from being a very small-time landlord for the past 27 years. If I were still a landlord, I would support this bill. I just sold my last rental house, tripled my cost of purchasing that house. And I just want to say ka-ching, because my tenants paid for that. I want to echo what some other people have said here. Landlording is a business. People who are undercapitalized as landlords, and we've heard from some of those this morning, probably shouldn't be in the business. If they can't afford to pay relocation fees, they can't afford to replace a furnace when it goes out. They can't afford to repair a roof that is damaged and leaking into a tenant's home. Undercapitalized businesses probably should not be in business. My main point today is that if I were still a landlord, I would support for-cause evictions. By a freak of fate, I also represented tenants for 20 years. And every time I called the landlord to ask for a repair, I would tell the tenant, expect a no-cause eviction in the next 72 hours. Every single time, over 20 years. Every single time. A no-cause notice would materialize. I believe that evictions should be caused by improper tenant conduct, not by improper landlord conduct. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So next up, Jeremy Poole, Jessica Blakely, Mark Bidwell, Richard Seward, and on deck, please, Mayor Ted Wheeler, Councillor Lacey Beatty, Mayor Mark Gamba. There will only be three on that to even out the mistaken paperwork earlier on.
Can we draw straws? I'll start. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Richard Seward, and I am a property manager and owner of a small, moderate-sized property management company in the Mid-Valley. I also own a real estate sales company. I'll put on my real estate sales cap right now real quickly and tell you, for investors, Oregon is a death zone. The cost of properties is so high and that the rents are moderate enough that they just can't afford to make money on it. I cannot find properties for my investors. So for what it's worth, I just want to put that out there. I don't really have a great big dog in this fight because I'm about to retire. I've got cancer, and so I'm thinking about selling my business. But I do want to speak up on this. One of the things that for every sad story that you've heard today, I can probably drag in an equal number of people that love what they're doing with us. We have a great relationship with our tenants. We want to keep it that way. And I also think we're missing the point on where these increases are coming from. In the last year, I've had 4 phone calls in my office from potential tenants saying to me, I will pay you $100 more a month or more for a property. If you get rid of your tenants, I need a place to live. I'm willing to pay what you want. So, hey, that's also driving things here a little bit, too. Good tenants to property managers are solid gold. We want them. We want to keep them. We have a policy in our company that we keep our rents modest, a little bit under market. All of our owners agree to that. We also limit our rent increases to 3%. We were delighted. My owners were delighted to hear that Portland went to 10%. That could be a problem here. But we want to keep these tenants. We really do. We don't want to lose them. However, every now and then, there are some tenants that are not quite so good. And, oh, goodness gracious.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair Kinnegar and members of the House Committee. Thank you for your opportunity to testify today. My name is Jessica Blakely, and I oversee 20 apartment buildings in the state of Oregon. Recently, I took over a rough apartment building locally. During a party of known gang members, a rival gang arrived, and shots were fired into that apartment as well as 3 others. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Despite my best efforts, no one wanted to talk. As you can imagine, everyone feared retaliation. Once I could identify the units where the gang members stayed, I issued my first end of tenancy notice. I did not have enough evidence for a 24-hour notice or a for cause. Despite the continued drug dealing out in the open, I had no actual proof, just my word against theirs. And for my own personal safety, surveillance was not an option. I found connections between additional units as I continued with the investigation. One, a cocaine dealer arrested on property, and the other 2 suspected drug connections moved out even prior to the expiration of their notice. To my amazement, the drug dealers had gone through the attic space, cut an access through the attic firewall, and were moving drugs through the attics of one entire building. This event resulted in displacement of less than 3 of the total residents on this property. Imagine the relief of the good tenants. Without this ability or with the heavy relocation costs, I would have owed $21,000 to the ones that committed these horrific acts and took the property hostage. That's not an option for small owners. I'm not a bad landlord who vacates entire buildings and should be subject to a different standard. I'm asking that you do not eliminate the end of tenancy or no-cause evictions for protection of my residents, my owners, and my on-site staff. I'm asking that at very least an amendment that allows those using my notice or the notice for my purpose intact, that I can still handle that small percentage of bad apples without causing undue stress or burden on other tenants. Punish those using it for profit and vacating entire buildings, but not those who use it to maintain the safety and security of my tenants.
Jeremy Poole, VP of Sales, PG Long Floor Covering, and also third generation general contractor in the state of Oregon, active contractor at that. The reason why we're here, and we boil it all down, is because over the course of time, there's been a complexes, properties changing hands. And when it changes hands, the new people that buy it at present market conditions, which is now an increased cost basis to the old one. In order to get lending, in order to purchase that property at today's market rates, the banks require that the rents be at market rate in order for the numbers to substantiate getting a loan on the building. So it's not about not wanting to be loving. It's not about not wanting to make sure the people have good places to stay. It's a matter of if you're going to buy the building, you buy it at market rate, and the banks require that you have a certain amount of liquidity in the building and profit margin to be able to subside. Our hands are tied, simple as that. If we want to increase things, make things a little bit better, I'll give you an example. Looking at a property down south from here, they're known for having low system development fees, okay? Looking to build a quadplex on its particular piece of property. Met with the city. System development fees and building costs would come to $54,851.40. Price of the property, ladies and gentlemen, do I have your attention? $42,000. $42,000, but $54,800 in system development fees, including a check written for the Parks Department for $10,600. If you want us to be able to offer cheaper rents, our cost basis, ladies and gentlemen, simple mathematics. For those that can afford to have, that they say, hey, I can work on this bill, they have an old cost basis. They can do it, because they bought it at a cheaper price. But if you buy at today's price or go to build and have documentation to prove it, you have to have that increased market price rent in order to survive. Eventually it could change, but what will have to happen is the people that own the properties now will have to die in rest homes before it will change.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm Mark Bidwell. I live here in Salem. My wife and I own a fourplex in South Salem and a 27-unit apartment in Kaiser. We took over the Kaiser property in November. Within the first week of owning that property, I was taken aside by a woman and her teenage son, who translated for me, indicated there was a problem with the behavior of a certain unit, and that they did not feel safe. I was then repairing a dishwasher at another unit in which the lady and her three children live there. She's deaf. Her teenage daughter interpreted through ASL to me that she was concerned for the safety of her twin 9-year-olds because of the conduct of the same unit. In both cases, these women and their children contacted me out of sight of that unit. I heard from one other tenant that that unit was a problem. We had our property manager issue a no-cause termination to get rid of these people. They had people showing up, as one told me subsequently, from midnight to 4 a.m., the place was rocking. It was loud, and they could not sleep. Tuesday morning, I went to the property because these people had moved out on Monday this week. A gentleman who had never done anything but smile and wave to, stopped his car, got out, shook his hand, my hand, and said, thank you very much. We could sleep last night. He wrote me a letter. He's a 20-year Marine veteran. He's living on his disability. And he said, we do fully support and thank all the listed above, myself and the property manager again, for resolving the ongoing problem in evicting tenants the way you did, which was a no cause, in evicting tenants to ensure a better living situation for all tenants at our apartments. Thanks, and for Fidelis Dwayne Jennings. I have this letter with his permission. It is a tool for landlords, not a hammer.
Thank you very much. Okay, so up next we have Mayor Ted Wheeler, Councilor Lacey Beattie, and Mayor Mark Gamba. And on deck, please come up Cheryl Januzzi, Carla Rigger, Adela Price, and David Nace. And elected officials, normally we give you a little more time because we know you represent a lot of people. In the interest of fairness, we have a lot of people here. We're going to hold you to the same 2 minutes. So please start.
Not a problem. Thank you. Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ted Wheeler, mayor of the city of Portland. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity today to speak in favor of House Bill 2004. I want to thank the legislators who stepped forward to sponsor this legislation and urge your support for moving it forward. As you've heard, Portland, as with other cities, have experienced a housing crisis. Housing prices and rents have surged. Portland has taken a comprehensive approach to addressing this issue. We increased urban renewal revenues dedicated towards affordable housing. We created a joint office for homeless services with Multnomah County. We gained voter approval for a bond to be used for affordable housing. We've streamlined the permitting process for affordable housing projects. We're working on on residential infill, and with the legislature's help, we're in the process of implementing an inclusionary zoning program. The current eviction policy in Oregon allows tenants to be evicted for no cause. These laws put thousands of Portlanders and Oregonians at unnecessary risk of displacement. Evictions should be allowed as they are currently, except that no cause evictions should be replaced with clearly defined landlord-based just cause reasons. As a just cause eviction standard is about setting a fair playing field for everyone involved, landlords and tenants alike. It's not a novel approach. Seattle, to the north of us, implemented a just cause eviction process. They did it collaboratively with landlords, large and small, housing advocates, community leaders, and others. I am committed to having everyone at the table to help us create a similar program in the city of Portland. We've all got to come together to work on it together. It's got to be a data-driven process. So thank you. Support House Bill 2004. Thanks for having me here today.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Lacey Beatty, and I'm a Beaverton City Councilor. I, like you, wear many hats. I work for a federally qualified health center, Virginia Garcia Memorial Health Center, and I also sit on the board of directors of Home Plate Youth Services, which is Washington County's only service addressing youth homelessness and housing instability. So through those lenses, I'm here to talk to you today. In Beaverton, our city council has made affordable housing and senior housing a priority for 2017. We have allocated resources to support affordable housing, including reducing STCs, and we're proactively working on anti-displacement strategies to preserve existing affordable housing. I thought it was important to come talk to you guys today as a WashCo elected, because our issues are complex. We deal with urban growth boundaries. We're the number one location in the state where people are moving to. And when people are displaced from Portland, they're finding the refuge of a really rad city of Beaverton. So we have a complex issue, to say the least. Every week we get messages from people in our community, and a lot of what you're hearing today. But I wanted to come and talk today in support of House Bill 2004, because it gives local jurisdictions like ours the ability to work with good landlords and tenants to come into a comprehensive decision. When the talk going into the session was about working around this, I was holding my breath with wild abandon, and I didn't think there would be a bill that actually we feel is good for the city. So I'm here today to offer my support, because we need to start somewhere. We can't just keep kicking the can down the road and expecting things to change. We don't have a magic wand where we could just afford building affordable housing all over the city. And even if we did have that magic wand, that's a 2 to 4 year, 5 year process to get houses built. And like the speaker said, this is an emergency. We need to deal with it this session, and I'm happy to be in support of House Bill 2004. 15 seconds to spare.
Thank you. That's great.
Good morning, Chair Geyer, Kenny Geyer, sorry.
That's right.
And committee members. I'm Mark Gamba. I'm the mayor of Milwaukee. Milwaukee has always been a working class town. We were the town where the cops and the teachers and the nurses lived. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, we've been having our community members come forward before us and tell stories about losing their homes. For example, a hardworking single father whose child was at Rao Middle School had desperately spent the last 29 days looking for a place to live so he could keep his kid at a school where he was doing well. And he failed. He had gotten a no-cause eviction. He'd been a good tenant all of his life, and for no reason that he was told, he was losing his home. Because of those kind of testimonies, the city passed a state of emergency, housing state of emergency, and we created a 90-day no-cause to slow it down. A few months later, I got a phone call from a little old lady. She and her husband, disabled husband, had been living in the same apartment for 20 years. Her rent was being increased almost 50% overnight. They were given 90 days notice of that rent increase, so apparently the landlord was a little confused by our rule, but still in 90 days she was not able to find any place to live that they could afford. So I would ask that you return local control for these kind of issues. the cities are best suited to address these kind of issues. It allows us to have conversations with the landlords, with the tenants, to come to some kind of a system that will work well in our cities. So I would support this bill.
Thank you, Mayor Gamba. Thank you, all of you, for taking the time to come here. Next, we have Cheryl Januzzi, Carla Rigger, Adela Price, David Nace, and on deck, we have Richard Greenstacht, Elaine Friesen-Strong, Jane Downing, and Don Mueller.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, and thank you for allowing us to be here, and I appreciate your service. And I am not support of this bill, and I am an ex-Marine.
Your name for the record.
Okay, my name is David Nace, and I'm a property manager, and we manage about 350 units throughout the Portland metropolitan area. 70 of those are single-family residences. And I am not supportive of this bill for simple reasons. As an ex-Marine, I certainly know the rules. I mean, I certainly know the needs for rules. And I would like to start by saying that we are not the bad guys. In fact, I've been harmed by far more people than I've been evicted as far as tenants go. And I have pictures here. I know we don't have time to go through with this, but all these pictures of costs of tenants that have just destroyed apartments. And one of the reasons for the no-cause eviction, and I have one apartment I would like to show you as, and I'm also known quite well in Washington County for being a person that will rent to people that you probably should not rent to. Criminals, people that have been evicted, people that owe property managers money. One of the policies that we use in this is the fact that we'll charge a little bit more deposit for that, but we also use a no-cause eviction for it, and one of the reasons for this is because it will not harm the tenant. I have a picture here of a bathtub literally full of sewage because the tenants flushed Kotexes down the toilet three times. The picture I have is the third time what happened. And we finally evicted them with a no-cause notice. Why? Because what would have happened? They would have had that on their record, and we would not have been able to. They would not ever have been able to rent again because it was $42,000 of damage. So, there you go.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you. Next.
Hi, I'm Carla Rigger, and I'm representing Philomath. Basically, my boss is Harriet Hughes, and I'm her assistant. I've been with her for over a year now, and I've learned a great deal about housing, more than I ever thought I could imagine could be out there. All right, we house approximately 80 tenants in apartment and houses, the boarding room style, so they share bathroom and kitchen. Our properties are managed slightly different than some landlords. Harriet started this as an outreach because she felt like there weren't choices for lower income people. Our housing is for those, frankly, that don't have a place to go. We try to help those with mental illness and those who are recovering from substance abuse, felons that have messed up but want to make a new start. Sometimes there are older college students that just don't have much income but want to get a better job and a better life. Most work well, others don't adjust to the group living. We try to give grace to those who run into rough times, but unfortunately, some take advantage of that. They are given notices of eviction. If this proposal goes through, we could find ourselves and our tenants in a dangerous position. We've had situations where tenants were involved with meth. This person became violent and the other tenants were scared. We had to give notice of eviction. Other tenants were given eviction notices simply because they could not deal with other people. My story could take up more time than you probably want to hear, but here are the issues. We have to give a 90-day notice. I guarantee we will not receive money for those 3 months. If we have to pay a relocation fee for those who cannot work for those who can't work within the housing standards, we could be out thousands of dollars because there are just not enough places for people with low income to go. And do you honestly think that tenants will not take advantage of landlords with this possibility of a law? Other points I would like to make is that if we give a 90-day notice, we figure that we won't be getting rent. Sorry.
We'll put it in the testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good job.
My name is Adela Price. I live in Salem. Okay, allow me to share a little bit about my life. I was once a homeless person and living in a homeless shelter. My special needs son was only 4 years old at the time. I managed to get out of that hole and I became a tenant. Now I am a landlord. I am in this business to help people and to help others and also to help myself. Within that 11 years that I became a landlord, I helped a lot of homeless people. I now have 2 duplexes and 2 houses, but I am not rich. I'm opposed to this bill. It's because this will hurt me. Let me just touch 2 subjects because I don't want to use too much of your time. I have high mortgage payments to pay. All of the rent money that I collect from the tenants go to my mortgage payments and maintaining the properties. I'm sorry. If I have to pay the relocation fee, if I have to pay that, I will go bankrupt. This means my son and I will go back on the street in a homeless shelter. Based upon my experience as a landlord, I received report. Okay, number 2. Based upon that, my experience as a landlord, I received report from an individual that my tenant was doing illegal drugs on my property. I had to protect my sources because of retaliation. At that moment, I had to hire 2 bodyguards to go with me to the property just to post the notice. We have to remember that retaliation can be deadly. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No apologies needed. Thank you.
My name is Cheryl Januzzi, and I oppose the House Bill 2004. I just want to say that landlords are the solution, and we are here to help with the housing crisis, and the bill is one-sided against the landlords. And I do think that we can work together, and I think with every input from one side, we should have input from the other side. For example, if we were to say that the only choice that we could do now is a just cause notice, for a landlord, I would say we would have to get rid of the 10 days to cure, just because that's going to add more time and we're going to have to go back to day zero and let things go and start all over again. And then we are trying to protect the very people that this just cause notice is going against. And for example, if we were to have to deal with rent control, I think the only way that we can have a long-term sustainable solution is to have incentives for our landlords to where they are now receiving maybe a subsidy if they have to provide something below market. But we have other solutions that we can definitely be united on, and I think we need to really focus on being united on this. We really want a long-term solution. We want to have clean, well-maintained, affordable housing. And, you know, maybe we give our Oregon renters a tax deduction for what they pay, you know, for rent, just like a homeowner does for their interest. You know, maybe we do have more tiny house housing around our state. Maybe we have a trust fund for housing that people can donate and it's 100% deductible. We have a lot of philanthropists in our state that I know would be very happy to help.
Thank you very much. Okay, so next up, Richard Greenstacked, Elaine Friesen-Strong, Jane Downing, Don Mueller, and on deck, David Pubols, Chuck DeSerrano, Ron Garcia, and Dennis Chapa, please.
Do you have
she's sitting down, but I'm her down.
If she's submitting it, we might have
ready?
Yes, please.
Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Richard Greenstead. I'm a resident of North Portland. I'm a homeowner, I'm a landlord, and I'm a volunteer in my neighborhood public school. The last time I testified before committee here in Salem was in November 2015. I testified before the Joint Special Committee on Public Education about our
state's choice to not adequately fund education. I shared that the burden of this underfunding is being carried by our most vulnerable students. I'm here today to discuss the intersection of housing policy and education. Our lack of regulation around housing policy is causing harm to our students. My kids attend their neighborhood public school, and each year they lose classmates due to our inaction on rent stabilization. We uproot students time and time again. Their education is interrupted. Our kids carry the stress that parents face when they receive 50 to 100% rent increases or no-cause evictions. We know that the ability to learn is greatly reduced when basic needs are not met or there is fear around losing a basic need. Housing is a basic need. I'm a strong supporter of free market economics, but left unregulated, it preys on the poor. We must allow reasonable regulation to protect families. Economic gain at the direct expense of our poorest citizens is not in line with our values as Oregonians. It is completely reasonable to ask landlords to plan their business around increasing rent at the rate of inflation. I've spent the last 12 years living in and as a landlord in a rapidly gentrifying neighborhood. I have contributed to the economic forces that have pushed families out of their homes. If House Bill 2004 had been passed 15 years ago, allowing Portland to institute rent stabilization, many of our citizens of color would still reside in the once redlined neighborhood of Albina, where I own property. While our history of inaction in addressing this issue is inexcusable, the absolute least we can do as a state is allow individual cities to tackle homelessness and graduation rates by lifting the preemption on rent stabilization. House Bill 2004 is an essential action that will allow Portland to provide much-needed housing stability and improve educational outcomes for our most vulnerable students. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Geyer, Kenny Geyer, and members of the committee. My name is Jane Downing, and I'm the Executive Director of the Center for Hope and Safety, providing services to victims of domestic and sexual violence in Marion County. I have worked with victims and survivors for 25 years, and I have never seen anything like what it is right now. Unlike my former esteemed colleague, I would tell you that even 3 years ago, I would have said some of the same things that she said about people not feeling comfortable to be able to come forward. And yet I can tell you right now that victims of violence are facing all of the no-cause evictions, the increased rents. I just worked with a woman who went through the entire court process. She had lived with an abuser who wouldn't allow her to work, and she did everything just right. He actually just was convicted of 27 years, so those of you on the committee can imagine what kind of crimes he committed. She had a little tiny baby. She had never been allowed to work, but she did everything just right. She got a job, she got an apartment, and she was doing well, and she was rebuilding her life, and she received a notice that her rent was going to go up $300 a month, and she was just barely making it then. We are just in a very different time right now. I want to commend all of the landlords that do a really nice job of helping people, and they're out there, and I'm hearing from them today, and I know your job is really hard, but I want to say to you that there are people out there that are suffering in ways that I have never seen before in my career, and I thank you for taking this issue on, and please help us find a solution. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity to testify. My name is Elaine Friesen-Strang, and I am the volunteer state president for AARP Oregon, and we are pleased to support House Bill 2004. We have a membership of over a half a million older Oregonians in this state. And an important aspect of our work here is advocating for livable and age-friendly communities, which includes expanding housing options and ensuring access to safe, secure, and accessible homes for Oregonians of all ages and abilities. As the older adult population is projected to grow, it's estimated that the number of older adult renters will more than double by 2035. In Oregon today, over 40% of renters age 50 and older are cost burdened. That means they pay more than 30% of their income on housing. More alarmingly is that almost 39% of renters over the age of 65 and 50% of those 85 and older pay more than 50% of their income on rent. AARP believes that House Bill 2004 is a good step toward addressing the current housing crisis, particularly as it relates to the needs of tenant protections and rent stabilization. Many Oregon renters today live in fear of being evicted without a valid reason, with as little as 30 days' notice. Just recently, an AARP member from Lane County shared with us her story. Upon informing her landlord that of two cases of theft of personal items from the balcony of her apartment, the landlord, instead of taking steps to ensure her safety, threatened her with an eviction if she complained again. For older adults, loss of a home can mean loss of community ties, displacement, even premature and costly institutionalization. We urge that you support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, fellow legislators. My name is Don Moeller. I am a 75-year-old stroke-surviving resident of a senior independent living residential facility in Salem. And in light of your two-minute limit, I need to supplement the supporting text that I've submitted to you and our petition regarding the increase of rents among residential livers. The aforementioned stroke, which I survived, has devastated my ability to speak extemporaneously before you. And fearing a possible gaffe while I'm testifying before you, I, as a non-lobbyist, have written the text, the copy of which I supplied to you. In preparing that text, I've had to think and rethink all of the hows and all of the ways and whys of enacting a rent rate control legislation here. So with my supplement being completed, I'm going to revisit my text and get paragraph 3 and start reading to avoid any kind of complications from my disability. I'm here at the invitation of Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer as a result of correspondence that I've sent to her.
Let's do 30.
Yes, please.
We'll give you one more minute. Thank you.
Well, what I wanted to say is the proposal to limit the amount by which rent can be increased to seniors with a 0% increase in their available benefits is very important. In other words, an annual rent renewal increase of even 6 or 7% against any good standing tenant having little or no benefit increase would be prohibited, and a financially strapped senior disabled would be able to avoid the prospect of facing homelessness. I thank you for your attention and giving me the opportunity to try to represent my fellow tenants, many of whom, because of rent increases that they can't afford to be, are facing homelessness. And I have several instances where individuals, after being really forced to leave, have died within the next day or so because the place where they live is their home.
Thank you so much, Don. Okay, thank you so much. So next we have David Pubols, Chuck DeSerrano, Ron Garcia, Dennis Chapa. If you go a little bit over the 2 minutes, that'll be okay. We'll try to even it out. And next on deck, please come up Ruth Atkins, Matt Newell, Ching, Alicia Temple, and Lisa Hatton.
Good morning. Dave Pubels from Eugene. In May 1964, my wife Jane and I bought our first rental property. It was a fourplex, and the down payment came from the savings that she made from her income as a public school teacher. Through the years, we added more properties until 1967. We reached 69 units, which is in six different apartment complex. And these are the properties that we own and manage today. Next year, we will both turn 80. And one may ask why we would continue to do this when we could retire. But basically, we enjoy what we're doing. We have pride in maintaining our properties. And we find it pleasurable and energizing in maintaining relationships with existing tenants and meeting new prospects who want to consider renting from us. During our 53 years of apartment management, we have rented to more than 1,200 new tenants. In a large majority of cases, our landlord-tenant relationships have been excellent. And over these 53 years, perhaps we've given five or six no-cause notices to terminate. That is less than one half of 1% of the tenants that we've rented to. In each of those cases, the notice to vacate was issued due to complaints from their neighbors. As an example, in the aforementioned fourplex, we rented a vacant apartment to a single man, and the other three tenants were rented to single women. Soon after he moved in, the women began to complain about his weird behavior. There were several things mentioned about him that made them very uncomfortable, including strange activities in the middle of the night. We issued the no-cause notice to vacate out of care and concern for our existing tenants. Although rarely used, it is vital for landlords to have the option to issue a notice to vacate without cause, mainly for the peace and enjoyment of the other tenants.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Committee. My name is Dennis Joppa. I'm here to testify in opposition to House Bill 2004. My wife and I are mom and pop landlords residing in Eugene. We own three rental properties, single family home, and two duplexes in Springfield, acquired in the mid-90s. I work full-time as a tool and die maker. Throughout my career, I've always worked for small companies that do not provide any substantial retirement programs, usually a bare-bones 401k. My wife and I have skimped and saved to purchase our rental properties to serve as our retirement income. During the economic downturn in 2009, the company I worked for cut our work hours by 20% due to a downturn in the business. This continued for 4 years. My wife and I struggled to hold on to our home as well as our rental properties at the time when people were consolidating housing, rents were dropping, and there were higher vacancy rates. It has only been in the last few years that we have been able to play catch up on the major maintenance items such as exterior painting, roofing, etc. Last year on one of our duplexes, we spent over $13,000 bringing it up to snuff. That takes care of the profit for 5 years. We have always kept the rents at below market to encourage long-term tenancy. The implementation of rent stabilization can and will have dramatic impact on us and other landlords who have chosen to keep their rents below market. Why should we be penalized for not raising our rents? We are opposed to having the no-cause notice tool removed from our toolbox to manage our properties. There have been circumstances where a tenant was creating problems for other tenants and the neighbors, but they didn't want to be identified in court because of fear of retaliation. The issue of supply and demand for rental units will not be fixed by this bill. It does nothing to increase the supply. Please address the core problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent
job. Thank you. Chair, Representative Kenny Geyer, thank you for having me. My name is Ron Garcia. I am a landlord. My wife and I own a property management company in Portland. We represent about 200 owners with about 550 rental units, and I am the current president of the Rental Housing Alliance Oregon, which has roughly 2,000 members, and 80% of those own 10 units or less. I had prepared remarks today, but I'm going to kind of scrap that and go off an email I got last night at 1:28 a.m. from a tenant named Alaska who said, hello, my name is Alaska Tiegler, one of the tenants at the Pruning Tree Apartments. It's an 8-unit building. Me and my father are both tenants in an apartment 4. We've lived here, loved being here for 2 years. We've lived here for a while now, she misspelled it, without any trouble from any of the neighbors. Until recently, we've been having a bit of a cigarette problem. Hands full of cigarettes have been thrown up in my neighbor's front steps multiple times, and I've cleaned them up many times, but it continues to keep happening on the steps right in front of me. I try to keep up with the mess, though it's not mine because it makes the front of our building look like an ashtray. So here's a picture. I'm not sure what else to do. I've talked to some of the neighbors, but that hasn't stopped the cigarette butt problem. I just wanted to let the landlord know because there's also no smoking on the property, so maybe somebody can say something. So, you know, property management, rental properties, a lot of it's a lot of details that we manage constantly. The no-cause termination is a tool that we use for certain instances that, if simply put, taken away, really limits our ability to manage the safe and unstable environments of tenants that want long-term living situations. And I really... I'm just listening to the testimony. The politicians and the community directors are very eloquent with their testimony. I've heard the compassion and sympathy for the tenants, the man just sitting in his chair. I think that this is a wrong bill to address this situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So next up, I realize I called two people that had already testified.
There's still one at the dais.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking you were going down. Go ahead. But also on deck, because I had mistakenly called two people that had already been up, can we please have Raina Lopez and then Heather Buke, I think it's called, is actually on the neutral, but only one on the neutral, so we'll throw her into that panel. Thank you. Sorry. Go ahead.
My name is Chuck DiSerrano, and I'm a small property owner, and we also have a property management company. In my prior life, I'm retired from a law enforcement agency within this state, and also, as related to that, I am basically on disability. Okay, and so our just thing that we did to supplement our income, because it will be several years, if something should happen to me, several years before my wife is eligible for Social Security. So what we did was we basically bought property because we really didn't want to continue with the stock market. And I think everybody can understand why. But anyway, so we did that. We bought a couple of duplexes. And I'll tell you right now, we're not making thousands of dollars a month. You know, our tenants basically range from, we deal with the City of Salem Housing Authority and seniors. And a couple people in between. It's mainly seniors that we deal with in the property management end of it. So I've only had to use the no cause twice. Once was basically because the only alternative to a violent situation in one of our buildings was for have the victim get a restraining order against the other tenant so the police could come in and take him out. Other than that, she had no option of, you know, what to do other than she did go spend the night at somebody else's house. Anyway, so that one wasn't really a show cause either, because I went in and talked to the gentleman and we came to an agreement and he voluntarily left. You know, so on that, the second one was on a property that we manage where people, they basically were causing problems. And irregardless, I know if you give a show cause, you got to say who the person is that's reported them. Even in this no show cause, these people went out and thought these other people were, you know, the ones that reported them, you know, and so they started retaliating against them.
Okay.
So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
So next, we have Ruth Atkins, Matt Noel Ching, Raina Lopez, and Heather Buke. And I'm sorry, on deck, Scott Smith, Violet Wilson, Kathleen Ashley, Sean LaVue.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ruth Adkins. I'm with Oregon Opportunity Network, the statewide association of affordable housing nonprofits. Heard from a couple of our members earlier, but I just wanted to emphasize that our members who own and operate affordable rental housing statewide are themselves landlords. So as you're hearing concerns from a number of other landlords today, I just want to bring in again the point that our members as nonprofits, landlords, are already operating within a for-cause eviction standard when it becomes necessary, successfully using that as their basis, and also are having rents that are controlled and stabilized for their tenants. So as landlords, our members understand firsthand the challenges of the landlord-tenant relationship and the need for a balanced approach that protects the rights of all parties. However, we strongly believe that tenants need greater protections in today's market, and that the seriousness of the rental housing crisis around our state and communities across our state warrants bold action. I want to bring the voice of another one of our members, Andy Miller, Human Solutions, who both operates rental housing as well as homeless shelters. And Andy notes that no-cause evictions are the single most common reason given by families coming into our shelter for the first time as the primary cause of their homelessness. He says, we have no programs or financial assistance we can offer to prevent the trauma and family chaos that no-cause evictions deliver. Our public investments in strong Oregon housing programs are no match for the instability these evictions are causing for our families, neighborhoods, schools, and safety net systems. In a time of crisis, we must explore solutions that get at the structural failures of the rental market itself to produce fairness for families and stable housing for kids. House Bill 2004 sets out a reasonable solution to address the systemic proliferation of no-cause evictions, a primary cause of family homelessness, and one that rental assistance programs and our current pace of affordable housing production simply cannot address. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Matt Newell Ching. I'm the Public Affairs Director for Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. I want to talk about an additional dimension of the housing crisis that we are seeing firsthand, and that is the impact that housing prices are having on hunger in Oregon, on the ability of a family's ability to purchase food for their family. Hunger is increasing in Oregon. According to the most recent data from the from USDA, Oregon is the only state in America that has seen a statistically significant increase in hunger. Why? What's unique about Oregon? One of the primary drivers of the increase in hunger in Oregon, we believe the evidence points to, is the rapidly increasing price of housing and the rents that people are paying. One in three renters in Oregon experiences food insecurity, and that means a family worries consistently about where their next meal is going to come from. And that has increased since the last period that was measured from 2010 to 2012, from that time period to 3 years after. That rate has increased by over 6 percentage points. Nationwide, renters are 3 times more likely to experience hunger than homeowners. In Oregon, it's double that. In Oregon, renters are 6 times more likely to experience hunger than homeowners are. And as some have mentioned before, this disproportionately impacts people of color, who for generations were denied the opportunity for homeownership through practices like redlining. So we recognize that there's no silver bullet when it comes to solving Oregon's housing crisis. There are many tools that we need to exercise that are in the toolbox. We believe that HB 2004 are essential tools in the toolbox to help give families and communities stability so that everyone has a safe, affordable, and stable place to live. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee. My name is Raina Lopez. I'm the interim director of the Fair Shop for All Coalition. And on behalf of the Fair Shop for All Coalition, we respectfully request for you to support House Bill 2004. Fair Shop is a united movement of 30 racial justice organizations, community groups, and labor unions who are coming together to fight together for racial and gender and economic justice. We all need a safe place to call home, and today far too many organizations
Oregonians are experiencing extreme rent increases and no cause of evictions. This rapid increase in housing instability is undermining educational and economic opportunities in communities across the state. And currently, Oregon landlords can raise rents as high as they want and evict people at any time without stating a reason, and even if they have always paid their rent on time. And with affordable housing in high demand, many are unable to find an affordable place to live before they have to move. So House Bill 2004 will help families protect their financial future. 4 in 10 Oregonians today rent their home, myself being one of them, and this really translates to roughly about 1.5 million people who are vulnerable to unpredictable housing changes. And evictions and extreme rent increases produce immense financial hardship for working families that can cause them to deplete their savings, push them into homelessness, and send them into a spiral of poverty. Addressing rental instability will make it less likely that Oregonians lose a job or sink into debt, and stable homes promote economic opportunity, allowing Oregonians to save for a house and pursue new employment options and open new businesses. Repealing the prohibition on rent stabilization will restore local control, allowing individual communities to design policies that meet their unique needs. And requiring statements of just cause will ensure that evictions or lease terminations only permit landlords to provide a valid reason. So please support this. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Heather Buck with Preferred Northwest Property Management. I'm from House District 8. I manage about 275 units, half of which are market rate rentals for small to medium investors, and the other half are for nonprofit providers of affordable housing throughout the state. As many of you know, Oregon has a longstanding tradition of collaboratively proposing housing bills within the state landlord-tenant coalition prior to coming to you for your approval. This time, it did not. Just when it seems we needed the coalition the most, it fell apart when landlord representatives declined to discuss important issues raised by tenants. Now, we are seeing these issues escalate into their most extreme and unethical practices, such as displacement of entire properties, community instability, and gentrification. These are significant issues that deserve communication, collaboration, and solutions. The coalition has been a meaningful way for landlords to participate in self-regulation in an industry left largely to the open market. As a property manager and engaged community member, I find it unprofessional and unethical for landlord representatives to limit the subjects they're willing to discuss when the consequence is effectively dissolving an established and effective coalition. Instead, it's precisely the time when sleeves need to be rolled up to work the problem. Representatives, the loss of the coalition is a major setback to Oregon's housing state policy. I ask you to urge landlords to resume full participation in the coalition. Landlord representatives, your constituents want to be heard at the coalition table. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we've got one last panel. Scott Smith, Violet Wilson, Kathleen Ashley, and Sean LaVue. And so this will put us just over the 10 o'clock. I understand if people have to leave at 10, but I'm hoping that you can let these people have their voice. And everyone else, we won't have time for you, but if you can stay till 5 o'clock, if you can stay and testify at 5, anyone who is on the list will go first. And then we will also start sign-ups at 4 o'clock, so we will take people after that. Please start.
Thank you. Madam Chair and Committee, I am Violet Wilson. I live in Kaiser, Oregon. I'm opposed to HB 2004. Both tenants and landlords agree that the state needs affordable housing and support for low-income families. But having laws that place landlords in a box limits our ability to support these low-income families and does not address the real issue. Landlords have been described in a sort of one-size-fits-all category, but like tenants, we have our own stories. As a child, I lived on welfare and in subsidized housing. I know what it's like to be poor and the difficulties in dealing with housing. I personally know what it's like to live in a house with falling plaster, buckets to catch rainwater, and wrapping up in quilts in order to stay warm when the furnace doesn't work. With a good education, I now earn a decent living. My husband and I own some rentals, and we have a small property management firm. Most of my owners own one or two rentals, and it's part of their retirement income. They're not wealthy, and many of them need these funds to supplement their income. I've tried to be reasonable in raising my rents. I've taken risks on tenants with marginal backgrounds, but the difficult hurdles introduced by this bill would make that risk-taking impossible. This would make it more difficult for some tenants to find housing. Small, cheaper dwellings are in the highest demand for the poor. When a sewer collapse has happened to me recently, the cost is the same whether I have a small unit or a large unit, and I just don't have the reserves to pay for all the expenses and possibly have to pay for a tenant to leave. I have to make choices about whether to fix a unit or pay for the tenant to leave. I understand this bill is trying to give tenants more rights so they can maintain affordable housing, but the reality is that it will give tenants less choice because it will be more difficult and will drive rentals out of the market. Rents and security deposits will rise due to added costs, and some owners of rentals will sell out or become more restrictive in screening. And tenant opportunity for affordable housing will be less available. I oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathleen Ashley, I'm a licensed property manager and served on the homeless task force for Marion and Polk counties. I'm here today to speak on behalf of my tenants, their families, and the homeless population. Managing a low-income complex 50% comprised of individuals on some form of housing assistance, many of these individuals have special needs, physically or mentally challenged, or elderly. You often deal with disruptive behaviors that will not fit well in the general population, some unable to maintain clean standard of living by a normal definition, others creating damage or extreme wear and tear not normal to everyday use. When I met one particular tenant, she had no eye contact and was unable to communicate. Their guardian was there to speak on their behalf and informed me that they were bipolar and had gone off their medication. The guardian had spent their entire day cleaning this tenant's unit, trying to return it to what somewhat acceptable condition. These words were spoken to me in that day and have affected me for the rest of my life. Someday, I will get my sister back. Unfortunately, before 6 a.m., this tenant chose to knock on doors, requesting items and getting belligerent when the wishes were not granted. Numerous complaints, repetitive occurrences, I had to ask the tenant to leave. Because I had developed a good working relationship with the guardian, we were able to resolve the situation quickly. About a year later, I found out that upon leaving the complex, they were able to convince the sister to seek help, stabilize her life. She was able to retain her housing voucher and secure new housing. This is just one of many individuals facing the same or similar types of circumstances that at times are beyond their control. Eliminating the no-cause notice can be very detrimental to these individuals. It will also have a negative impact on high-risk individuals such as homeless trying to seek stable housing. As a landlord, I would like to have the flexibility to compassionately release these individuals without damaging their rental history. I oppose the bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Scott Smith. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm from Eugene, and I've managed 69 units for about 20 years. And I want to tell you about a young woman named Amber. Amber came to me back in 2015. She was 25 years old, and she really wanted to get out of her parents' house, but she had a felony on her record. Her and another woman had assaulted a young man 3 years before. And Amber was having a difficult time finding a place that would accept her because of that. She caught my attention because she was upfront, honest, and she owned her mistake. And we talked at length, and I verified her story with public records, and I was able to talk to her probation officer, and we got a little creative giving her some accommodations on my screening criteria. I could have denied her, but I took a risk, and I rented a duplex to her. It's been a year and a half, and so far, Amber's doing good. She takes care of the home, she's getting along with the neighbors, and she pays me on time. And Amber continues to be grateful that I gave her a chance. I feel good that I was able to help her help herself. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Unfortunately, some people with problems in their past put on a nice smile for the application process, and once they move in, addiction issues reoccur, or maybe that bad relationship's renewed, or maybe they're just trying to deceive me in order to get a place to begin with. It doesn't matter. The neighbors start calling about the loud arguments, the fast driving, and the aggressive dogs running around. And pretty soon the neighbors are saying, hey, we're going to move if you don't do something. The concept of using no-cause notices or cause notices sounds good until you get to that issue of burden of proof. If you want to make cause notices usable for a landlord, adjust the burden of proof so it's on the tenant to prove that they in fact are not creating a cause. I oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sean Lavelle. We have rent units in Washington County. Two beds run around about 900 mark, so we're a little bit below the market. Some of the benefits to renters of the no cause, firstly, it allows the landlord to accept a marginal application, whether it be from a bad rental history or no rental history, such as someone new into the rental market. Without the no cause, these applicants will have a hard time finding an apartment. Secondly, a no cause allows a tenant who has made a mistake and needs to be moved without being branded with an eviction under rental history. For example, some new students we had that got into a sparring match outside our apartments, and the police were called, and if they had to have been evicted, they would be branded with that. Thirdly, large rental organizations will be forced to include the cost of litigation for cause notices, add this cost into the rent, so all renters will pay for the bad actions of the few problem tenants. Eliminating no cause will not stop unscrupulous landlords. If legislature really wants to help, you can't solve a lack of housing by adding more red tape. Representatives, like I believe Tina Kotek, say they are doing all they can to provide more affordable housing. If that is true, show me the land you have zoned for the 110,000 new houses you say is needed. Where is the zoned land? Or are you just giving us lip service and blaming landlords for the housing shortage? Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just as a reminder, the sheets will be open at 4 o'clock tonight. We will take the people who have already signed up first. If you know you're not going to be here, it would be very helpful if you'd cross your name out so we can go rapidly tonight. And with that, I'm going to, and please put in your testimony. It'll go on the record. I'm going to close the public hearing on 2004. Testimony. It'll go on the record.